Special Committee on Professional Responsibility, May 23, 1973.
I conduct fundraisers during the session of the legislature. And I realize there's mixed emotions. I think if we could do it so it doesn't look like we were running at any particular party or any particular person, but pass it generally, I think it'd be a good idea. The good place to put it would be in here, but that might not, that may hurt this bill.
I was going to say, it might hurt the bill.
And let's not put it in here. The other two ways are a separate statute or a rule, and I think we ought to talk about it sometime. I don't know that we want to do it now.
But I think that that we could introduce a bill from here on if we want to do that. I would think, though, to put that in here would jeopardize the thing from both sides.
Well, it's going to be difficult to grasp what we mean by fundraisers and what we mean by during the session. Do we mean just during the regular session, special session, before? It's going to be difficult, but I told Earl that I'd be glad to work with him on it. So I told him that he may be here today, and I told him I'd bring it up.
Didn't we decide that we should go the rule route on it?
That was the committee gave it its consensus at one point, almost apparently unanimous decision on that earlier to set
that
the rules.
But either way, we can draft one up
and
present or something even from the rules. We left off at...
As I remember, we left off on page 6 or the bottom or top of 7 here in... No, I'm sorry. Bottom of 7 and top of 8, well, as far as we got. We got to the point where it says the Fair Practice Commission shall, or do, consist of the following members, etc.
You know, we decided that it would have two from each party.
In each house.
In each house.
Right.
So that'd be four from each house. And that's fair. And the fair... Would, you know, I'm thinking about the funding of this thing and the rest of it.
How about we can just about fund it out of fees?
Maybe, but I was thinking about one way to cut costs down would be to put that other member to be the Secretary of State. Do you think that, of course, we didn't want an elected official, did we?
Yeah,
that's right. I was going to say, but so it was right in his office. We could.
All right, let's do that.
I'm thinking about getting
Larry,
labor and you know, getting the thing down.
All right, Larry Roby asked me that question too Monday night. He said, "Well, you're putting him to the Secretary of State's office. Does it really add to his duties?" And I said, "Well,
certainly would if he ran the commission."
Well, under your suggestion, yes. But if he sits there by himself, it's just housed in his quarters because he has no input in it.
But if he was the chairman. And then you would have all these people in here and looking over all elections because you're going to be getting...
Do we want to make him chairman? That's a fair... I think that'd be a good move, frankly.
He's a duly elected top
and you'd have
quality
to take out
type
the
of... That's usually the top quality man. I can't think of a time when we haven't had. Doesn't mean we won't have.
Now, let me ask you something just as a matter of practical politics, considering the reality. Would that this session jeopardize the bill?
I don't think so.
I'd have to ask you two guys.
Well, no, I mean, not just us, because members of your own party, too. But,
no, I don't think so.
Well, I know the bill that I introduced, that the bill was in great jeopardy until the Secretary of State was
amended
out. I think you know the drill. And that was in both parties.
Yeah. But I think on it, where he's going to head up a commission like this. And thinking about, he has all of the apparatus for the
that
could be run through, and you're giving back a duty. It could be a very important duty.
I know. I agree.
July 1.
Now we're talking about passing the bill, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, it takes effect July 1, 1973, January 1st, 1974.
When everything clicks in.
Right. When you have to follow.
I know, but besides that, that's the beginning of the campaign for
the governor.
Yeah, that's true. Might not be
now,
such a smart
I think it's a great idea if it was taking effect with whoever the next Secretary of State is.
All right, I think Fred's right.
Yeah.
He'd be shot from both sides. He'd be shot from those who are jealous of the power and shot from those who don't think he's exercising it enough, and it would might harm the Clegg-Ticker himself, but it might harm
the commission. Yeah, and I haven't got anything against Clegg-Ticker.
Well, and you've got a nine-man commission there. There's a...
I would like to do something, though, however, to make it more responsive or responsible to the Secretary of State.
I would like.
All this does is houses it there.
Well, how about something that said that you, in addition to housing it, that the some way of commingling their staff resources and et cetera, you know, explicitly say that the staff of the commission, is the commission independent? Yeah.
Well, when we looked at that staffing bill, or this bill here, and it talked about the clerks and the rest of it, and if you're going to take the C&E and all of those, you see, he has two or three people already in his department.
He has an elections division and an audits division, and this would be, I suppose, what we ought to be thinking about.
In the elections division, there is.
A fair practices division.
Yeah, right in that office.
This commission would
operate out.
Look over, and the commission is really the brain power to the fair practices division of the Secretary of State.
He would carry out the duties of the executive director.
Well,
he'd administer the Secretary of State. He'd administer it, but they'd direct it.
Another possibility, too, is to add some money to it. But like the Department of Transportation, their various divisions, you've got people who are appointed, and the Secretary of State can appoint someone.
Well, I think maybe the thing to do, I think if we make the commission separate, without any elected officials, they in turn hire the director, I would say. The balance of this could then fall into the fair practices division of the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah.
And then you could get the commingling of, the
personnel.
Employees could either work for the fair practices division, the election division, or the audits division. And
you might get some of this $93,000 down to where we could...
I think between that, what it would do would allow full utilization of staff people to float between the two divisions, say elections and
what we're doing with the data processing commission.
Yeah, because they need the extra time. Because there isn't going to, there'll be those times when they're not busy here, but they can be working back and forth, and we'd have a better chance of selling this down in ways and means. So.
I think we can couple that with getting $10 or $15, maybe $15 initially and $10 annually be required with your economic statement. We could come fairly close to making this
self-supporting. Yeah. Okay, let's think about that one just one little bit
longer.
I think
what we ought to do is, as soon as we get that put together, then go to the Secretary of State's office and ask him. I'm not going to say it's make a difference, but I think he might have some thoughts on the mechanics of fitting the fair practices division into his audits division and elections division.
It should be consulted.
Yeah. No. So, fair practices commission now that would have an independent commission, and they would hire the director, but the Secretary of State would staff and administer the day-to-day things.
The division, which would be the operating.
May not even need to hire a director. You see, you could maybe take one of their people out of there as their directors. Okay. But the commission is separate, operating out of that department.
Okay.
And you might take George Bell or somebody like this, and maybe not him, but another one to encompass in his department. And this might even be that lawyer that he would want to hire.
Sure, the lawyer could be the director.
He'd be dividing between the two. He could then afford to have, because this is almost going to take a lawyer.
That's a good point. The lawyer that he wants for C&E and election advice might be the same lawyer
was this one, and where they have put in here for legal counsel $18,000. See, that pretty well cover. That cover half of the price of the director, huh?
Yeah, this isn't going to get 40 hours.
Oh no. No, and he would have half of the guy's job would be to be the legal beagle or the director of this, and he's got the girls to do all of the bookkeeping.
So the commission would operate as an appeals body and a policy-making body, and the Secretary of State
would stay the day-to-day, the mundane sort of thing.
They set up their own rules to match that.
What you were thinking about, right? Yeah, I think that's better. It implants it rather than just houses it in the Secretary of State's house. It makes it a functioning part of his own division for concert.
So this would take care of his lawyer and the division head at the same time. We talked to him about it, but I think they'd be more than happy to have that. I know they'd kind of like to have an in-shop lawyer.
Yep.
If this bill passes, that we just put out a Ways and Means.
Yeah,
that,
and this would make it, the lawyer would not then necessarily be representing the state or whatever, but he would be very helpful in writing opinions and interpretations within
the board.
So that you'd want to take out Section 12, Commission shall appoint an executive director.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the other things, just going down, I think it's already down to five. Earl pointed out to me a good point, I think, and that is a quorum consists of five members of the commission. I think it's necessary to have that it takes five members concurring to get a result. Now that's a significant change.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is this: normally, if we don't speak, I presume that under Mason, my understanding is if quorum is five, decisions can be made by a majority of the quorum, hence three. You could have opinions rendered, decisions made on the basis of one-third of the commission. And it seems to me that it would be better to have, if they want to require somebody to refile or turnover for penalty or whatever, that you have at least a quorum, at least five green.
Well, do you have to say quorum, then? You could just say decision consists of five.
Well, or you say quorum of consists of five members and
is necessary for.
Yeah, we've had a rule. Several communities have rules. I don't remember.
But anyway, I agree with that.
That's quite a substantial change, but I think it's an important one.
Well, I think on a commission like this, where you're going to make big enough decisions to ruin somebody or whatever
else,
seriously affect. That's the word I was thinking of.
Okay.
And 12 can come out.
Right. Including sub 2 of that. Okay. Section 13. Now, when you get to what the commission shall, that's where you're going to plug the Secretary of State back in.
Well, what you might want to do here again, we might want to look and see how the elections division, of course, they don't have a commission over them, so maybe that's not appropriate, but it might be a good place there to say that the division, the Fair Practice Division, which is established by this act, shall, at the direction of the Fair Practices Commission, prescribe the forms. In other words, we give all the duties to the division, but the direction comes from the commission.
The division shall, at the direction of the commission, do the following things.
Well, that's a thought. Let the council may prefer it in a better way, but that builds in the division. It really makes the staff responsible for getting the work out, but they do it at the direction of the commission. We want the policy making to be done by the commission, but we sure don't want them to sit down and have to work the forms out. That ought to be done by the staff.
Okay.
Now, Grant, on Section 14, you asked a question about any person who intentionally violates any provision of this act, the other class A misdemeanor.
You would rather have that just enumerate the
operative section. Well, normally what we do, at least, and then I've still ruled by other counsel, but my recollection is that when you have a full act, and this is the Fair Campaign Practices Act, or the Conflict of Interest Act, or whatever, but it's called the Fair Campaign Practices Act, or the Fair Practices Act, excuse me. Normally, it has definitions, it has preambles. Now, maybe those are not provisions. I don't know of any specific technical definition for a provision. Provision is something that's provided for, and of course this provides for definitions and provides for a variety of things. It seemed to me that it'd be easier, and the way it's codified would be in a 990 section, which would say violations of ORS 260.002 and 005, and the rest of them are Class A misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm.
That's to me tidier, but maybe I'm missing something.
So you'd enumerate the section and let them pick them up in the ORS?
Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'd say section 3, 5, 10.
Okay. Okay.
That takes care of 15 if you did that.
Well, 15 is, no, I think 15 I'll stay, and that is that.
These are in addition.
Is there any other?
Right. Oh, yeah, sure. This is in addition to, yeah, that's right, excuse me.
On Section 16, the numbers 3 and 4, you change that to 3. 3 shall serve. You got 1, 2, 3, and 3.
Why don't you have 2, 2, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
So you get a better shift.
Okay, 2, 2, 2, and 3. Okay. All right. Okay, now in section 9, you wanted section, okay, we took out sections 19.
Well, one thing, I'd like to have 18 moved up and maybe made a part, if we want to keep that in, and I got my ears pinned back last time, I suggested we might not want to, so I'm not going to make that suggestion again, but if,
put it in part of the conflict of interest does not include?
Yeah, I think it ought to be moved up a little.
Okay.
It just kind of hanging.
So, yeah, it isn't all by itself.
You know, well, it's not, so it's not all by itself. It clearly looks like an afterthought. It could easily be missed. And I think it's important to put it right up with...
Section 2, sub 6.
Well, whatever that one when we talk about...
Does not do.
What conflict of interest does not include?
Well, either that or the one that says we can't...
financial gain for himself...
Yeah, either maybe that's 3 or C.
Yeah, 9. Yeah, section 3.
Three
it would be no public official should use his official position or office to obtain financial gain for himself. Others. It wouldn't look very good there because you got a prohibition
yeah.
and then saying except
yeah.
for the wife of the legislator.
Spouse.
Well, it could be your daughter.
That's true, too. That's right.
It could be a son.
Son. I stand corrected and abashed. the best place would seem to me would be to put it in section 2, sub 6, because we shortened 6. It's only an A and a B now, because we took B and C and put them together. Put on a new C and say, shall not include the hiring spouse for one member of household.
Okay, that's...
It would be section 2, subsection 6. Would be a new C. Paragraph C. Okay, you wanted to now...
19, we ought to have a separate bill. I checked,
right.
Norma didn't know what... But the Constitution is the one that says it must be germane, and the benefit of...
Okay.
Senator Hearn said a river, we got into some mighty tussles last session on the floor of the Senate over germane.
It's already been
and
taken
it's
out.
And it's a vulnerability we don't need to expose this bill to, frankly. But let's remember to pick that up. If we do, in fact, change the C&E, we might want to introduce a bill to do just that, to put the C&E under the Fair Practices Division.
On page 9...
In fact, we ought to do that, Jack.
I think we should.
That ought to be a bill.
Well, that ought to be a bill, and we ought to get one ready so we can introduce it.
And do whatever necessary in funding and whatever to put that in under the Fair Practices Division and take it out of the Elections Division.
All right, and on page 9, subsection 10, it says preserve reports and statements for a period of 10 years from date of receipt.
I don't even think you would need this. We have regular archives regulations right now, and I think this is just superfluous, and it might even be in conflict. Because I'm not sure if you can even destroy them now, or they have to be put over in the archives. I'm not.
Don't you have to get a special bill passed for, like, you want to get rid of 1920?
Why don't we check that? There is a requirement that they should be held for a while.
I don't think you can do it without
authorization. Okay. Legislative Council is rewriting Section 20 to give you a fee schedule with a blank space for you to put in a dollar.
And will you work with the let's say fiscal and council to come up with some recommended fees and what their gross return would be. Apparently, according to my rough guess, $15 per person per year would come pretty close to funding the program.
Right.
That might be a little high, except that most public officials raise their voter stamp and then their filing fees. I think it would be better for the bill if we did pay for it rather than have the general fund pay for it.
Would it be all right with you people if we met again tomorrow?
Fine.
Have we got
we'll meet right
after
what have we
lunch
got left?
call 30.
Well, really anything left.
You don't have anything,
anything, but we'll...
It's ready to go down to,
well,
with the exception of these two that Common Cause brought today, which they
and we'd like to talk about those two. And okay. The reason I have to go, we're going to have education up today.
Tomorrow at noon?
Basic school, so I've got to get down.
Okay. Well, right after the session ends. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at 12:30.
Yeah, 12:30.
We just need a half hour. I know it's not very long, but we can
give him enough to do in a week.
Yeah.
For a week.
Yeah, I'll go up to the executive end.
We'll call the chaos special responsibility. Together, and we had a hearing on September 8, 24, but as our understanding, the judiciary this afternoon combined both of the things that are in this bill into another bill dealing with live sex shows. You said it better than I do, but I call them live sex shows. And there's no reason for us to go ahead and hear the bill if the points or the factor about ligatures is included in that. So unless there's an objection, unless somebody wants to testify on this, I think that we'll call the hearing
just like to make one statement. My name is Reginald S. Williams. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Motion Picture Association of America. I live in Salem. That's for the record. Also for the record, as far as this bill is concerned, 824, I had talked previously to Senator Hurd after it had been suggested to me by some members of the labor lobby that they wanted an exemption there carried forward like they have in the present law relating to dissemination of material to minors, exempting certain employees of motion picture theaters and the like, if this bill was intended to reach motion pictures. The Senator Hurd assured me that at that time, am I not correct, Senator, that it was not your intent, by the language of this bill, to have it relate to motion pictures. And therefore, I said, I have the amendments that they wanted made, and I have them, and I'm willing to present them at any time, if this should be modified to include motion pictures. That was my main purpose here, to be sure that my understanding of the legislative intent of this bill was correct. I have appeared also, I might say, and so has Mr. Matthews, who is here with me tonight, the president of the Oregon Theater Owners Association, on Senate Bill 708, which was projected for the floor calendar for today. My own personal situation was such that I could not be in attendance. I could not be in the gallery today. I do not know what happened to Senate Bill 708, except Senator Fadley just told me that it was sent back to committee with some instructions. I have not seen what the bill looks like with those instructions. I know what the engrossed bill looked like, of course. And our position, the position of my organization, the position of the Oregon Theater Owners Association, and I might say that I do not represent the exhibitors, I represent the producers and distributors. Mr. Matthews is here to speak for the exhibitors and has done so previously. But our position has been made known to the Senate Judiciary Committee heretofore. We had no opportunity, of course, to know that this was happening as of today. And what happened as a result of their meeting today, I have no knowledge of. I don't know anything about it. Our only purpose here was to be sure that if amendments were presented that would make 824 include motion pictures. We wanted to make the same position statements that we had made heretofore to the Senate Judiciary Committee. I might say also, if I may impose upon you, since this is a committee on professional responsibility, that Mr. Jerry Proctor is also in the audience. He's the local representative of the General American Theaters, who are the local distributors here. They operate the two drive-ins, the Lancaster Mall Theater, and the two downtown theaters. He's been very kind. He's permitted me to furnish to members of the legislature through Representative Durelli. That's my own selection. I just took a Marion County person, you know, and Senator Burbidge for the Senate, little slip passes to the local theaters, which they've been very happy to honor, whether they were presented by a member of the legislature or whether a member of the legislature wanted to give them to favor a babysitter or somebody that done them a favor, anything of that sort. No questions were ever asked. But it's developed that quite a number of them, of these, have been duplicated, apparently on equipment in the state capitol. And one person who pretended to be a member, who represented himself to be a member of the legislature, brought about 14 teenagers down and peeled off as many passes as there were people there, But they were not in a pad like this. They had no trace of glue on them. And matter of fact, nobody noticed that the blue stamp had not been on there. And then this person, after having seen that the people got in, left. The other night, two young ladies came down and had obviously forged slip passes like this. This is apparently going to be a problem. They don't want to have to refuse to these courtesies to the members of the legislature, either directly or indirectly. Every adult ticket, of course, is worth $2 at the box office. And if it's a forgery, that's somebody's taking advantage of you folks and of us. I say of us, I mean of these people too. And they're taking advantage also of the producers and distributors who are entitled to a percentage of the gross at the box office. I don't know what the source of it is, how it's coming about. I'm making a little personal inquiry myself. Got a couple of friends here who work for the legislature that are looking into it. I don't want to point a finger at anybody yet, but somehow, these are getting, these forgers are getting into circulation, gentlemen. And I hope that none of you will feel embarrassed if inquiries are made of you at the box office. Now, any questions?
I'd like to say that I remember our conversation during the session, and my intention if we went to the group of A24, mm-hmm. that we would certainly exclude the folks and carry the bill on 708 today, and when the bill was on the floor, one thing I noticed in study the bill was that it was an exclusion. To my understanding, the bill has been reported back now.
I assume that we can get printed copies of the re-engrossed bill after a day or two. That's all I have to say, gentlemen.
As a procedural matter, I imagine the Senate desk or someone has a copy of the specific instructions of the person in hand, so that you might be able to answer your question sooner than the bill's printed.
Well, it's not mine. Ever since 1961, Senator, the local management of the theaters here, and that included another organization that owned them for quite a while until the senior member died, and then the organization was sold to the present owners, and they followed right through, and they permitted me to distribute to the legislature through the Marion County, one or more Marion County representatives, either in the Senate or in the House. I remember when Senator Carson was in the House. He was the people could come to him if they wanted these little slip passes and get them. They permitted me to do that. That's their generosity, not mine, but they've done it sort of as a favor to me and the organization that I represent to show our mutual cooperation. But this is the first time we've ever had anything of that sort happen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have pretty much done the first of what you want to say, and Mr. Matthews, unless you, did you have anything more that you wanted to add to that? And
ironic that we would be hearing bills like this with pictures like those. I don't mind some of these if you can't quite understand, but I think those are terrible. I don't know if you come up here. Didn't mean to call your attention to them, but... Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I joined Senator McPherson on a bill, and he joined me on a bill, and both of them on pornography. I don't think they have gotten very far unless they're amended or something happens to them that they come to life. I hope they do, because in my district we hear continuously from people, what in the world did we do last session? We voted to, we legalized certain things that people don't think should then legalize, and put in legislation that permitted the filthy shows and things. I try to tell them we didn't put any legislation in to do or promote them. We just ignored them and don't have anything in the law at all except that that pertains to minors. And for this reason, the city tried to do something about one of the first shows there and found out they really couldn't. And the last time I was home, between Washington Street and Salmon, which is five or six blocks, there are 11 such shows in that distance. And they're brightly painted, the brightest of colors and lights on. You see all kinds of young people, older people, couples coming in. You see them come out just shaking their heads and bowing down, how ashamed they are that they've been in there. And you see some of them come out. And unfortunately, just that block and Salmon are usually certain times anywhere from 2 or 3 to 10, 15 prostitutes, mostly young women, hanging around those corners. You see them come out of these places and head up there. And I think it's terrible. And I think something should be done about it. I haven't seen any of the shows, but I've heard that they are pretty awful. I've heard enough about them, some of them, that I wondered why Gracielle Boucher, you know, she's quite a fighter. Many of you may have met her in some of the animal bills. I wondered why someone didn't get her to, she's Catholic, I believe, make the sign of the cross and win one of the shows to see what they're showing. I'm sure if she would, from what I hear, she'd be out in front with a bunch of pickets picking against the cruelty to animals, and they'll continue to delinquency animals, because I think some of the pictures are a mixture of people and animals, and they're pretty horrible from what I hear. Also, these people now are not content to have shows in this district, but they're moving within a couple blocks of schools throughout the city. I've heard from people. We have two or three of them shops that have opened up not too far from Cleveland High School over in our area, so that the children can get in there. They can somehow get in there, even though they're minors. They look older or something, but they get into these shows, and they meet people around the shows and the parks there that are not good people promoting this sort of thing. And I think it's come to a sorry plight when we can't do something down here to redeem ourselves of the fact that last session, in passing the criminal division law, we took out any laws pertaining to these things for adults. And I think the people expect us to do something about it, and I hate to see the end of the session on its way without us having done anything about it at all. I think it's shameful practice, and people have enough problems facing them now and in the coming world without us encouraging them and getting them used to this low form of, it can't be amusement. I don't see what could be amusing about it. It's just contributing to something bad within the people who want to go see it, and I think it's our duty to do something to eliminate these shows, to help people not have to look at that sort of amusement or whatever it's called. I think it's terrible. I'm ashamed of my hometown. Third Street made a real effort to come back when business started going into what's called Broadway, now 7th Street, and I can remember when the businessmen on 3rd Avenue went to great lengths to put an arcade over the street and with lights on it, and all the whole, everyone went down there. They thought they could bring 3rd Avenue back, it was called Street then, to be the main street like it had been. It's closer to the river, and they thought they could keep this as the main street. They must be turning over their graves now to see. Those lights have long since gone. Those arcades are down. But here's these bright colored lights all the way up and down in that area on 3rd Avenue advertising these live shows. You go down towards the old station beyond where the Hoyt Hotel had the Roaring Twenties. There's several of them down there. And I think it's a disgrace to our city. I understand it's getting out into other cities and other towns throughout the state, and I know it's getting out into our neighborhoods where they close to the schools. So I think it's our duty as legislators to do something. It seems to be, I don't know, we can do other things when we really want to do them. Why it's impossible legally to do anything to stop this filthy practice. That's about all I have to say. I'm hoping that something will come out, this bill, or the bill I joined Mr. McPherson with the Senate side, or the bill he joined me with on the House side. We knew there were going to be some things that we were told were not constitutional, we couldn't do it, and between us we hope to bring something out that we could do, and I hope we can. Maybe even take something from one of those bills. Or maybe we can pass one, or maybe you can get this one out. At least get a start on showing the people that the legislators of Oregon aren't down here just to work on selfish matters and taxes, which of course are not selfish, but we have to provide taxes to pay for the program. That we can also look out for something that will help them and their families.
Greg, for your information, today the live sex bill was out. And went back to the committee with specific instructions to include literature, because it was just the live sex act. And it's our understanding that they voted that out again this afternoon, and it will be sent back to the Senate floor shortly.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. It's also a combination of all the bills filed together. It was very hard in there, also the positive.
We've been the first state to do some things. We're the first state to license nursing home administrators. You've all heard me talk about that, and you all took a part in this, I'm sure. Or have carried on with the law. Some of you were too young to have been here when we first put this in. We were the first state to certify hearing aid salesmen, and they're working on licensing them now. We were the first state to beat down big lobbies and a lot of things, and I don't see why we can't be the first state, at least one of the first states, to do something about this. I take different types of literature to bed with me at night because I just won't lie there and think and worry and dream of the past or grieve about something. So I take some spiritual reading, my prayer book, and I take some movie magazines and just some good fiction of some sort. Some articles, and I take detective stories, these true detective stories, not with posed people, but those that show the pictures of things that have happened. And I find that one of that form, that type of reading, takes my mind off of things, and I go to sleep usually before I even finish the story. But what horrifies me in those is the terrible advertising in the back of these things, which I know it would be impossible, I suppose, to come up with something that would forbid these sort of things being sold in our state. You just have to write on it, I'm over 21, and you don't have to any proof of it. And not only the pictures and the books and instructions, but dummy forms of people that you blow up some way so that they're life-size people, and there are lots of things that can be done with these. And to me, our United States is really coming to a terrible plight when we can do these sort of things. I don't suppose we could prohibit those type of magazines that have these ads in them being sold, but they are some horrible ads. Last year, or last session, I brought them down and showed to Senator Bowe at the time we were working on some of this. Now they've got some new, well, I'm ashamed to even look at the back of the book, you know, and see them. They're that bad. And they're just getting more and more pages of them until I've just about told myself I'm going to have to find some way of reading at night and forget these doggone detective stories, because here this is, you go to turn the page and hear some of this. It's really horrible. But it seems like we can do something here in Oregon, too.
Senator, I'd like to ask Grace if she's been to the magazine Playboy.
No, well, I did once. I looked at it to see a certain picture. That's the only time, and I never buy these two romances or any of that. kind of stuff, but I do find that some of these detective stories, and you learn from them too, you know, but I gave a little girl, was out in a foster home, a little girl from Hillcrest, and I told her of a story I'd read about hitchhiking and dressed the way she was when she was to visit me today, because some of these two stories are really show what can happen to kids hitchhiking, you know, and I was telling her about it. But I don't buy Playboy, or they don't have a
Playgirl.
No, I haven't bought that, or any Play Old Lady or Play Old Man or anything. I haven't seen all of those, that type of stuff, but magazines. But I am concerned about this, and I think it's our duty to try to help people, and although the majority of them say, well, they're going to do what they please anyway, I think if we can save a few people from these things, that we should do it. And I think that the people who are making money off of this and they're going to fight because they're operating these shows and all, they must be smart enough to do this. They ought to be smart enough to make a job in a decent way, not by preying on the weaknesses of their fellow man. I think it's really terrible. And I don't know what you boys think about these pictures, but I think they're a little too bad to be in a public. You said they don't want us to smoke in a public hearing room. I think that, I don't smoke, but I think that's a lot worse. Really, I do. You want to ask me any questions? Being you're all people I've served in the house, and I think you're pretty smart, except you weren't smart enough to stay in the house where you're really needed, you know. It's been nice to appear before you anyway. Thank you. God bless you.
We're holding this one in the basement to see what happens on the other bill. Now that it's been supposedly incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep in touch with me.
And you get a pass on the house.
I'll do my best. I'm trying to take the bill back tomorrow to committee, but I haven't sent back to committee. It didn't come to my committee. On the discrimination on sex, on housing and employing, I think inasmuch as we were stupid enough to pass the criminal revision law last session that legalizes, I don't quarrel and say we can't deny these people the proper housing. And can't refuse to rent them houses or sell them houses. But I think employment's something different. I was here when we first passed a fair employment practice law in 49. I was here a long time ago, you know. And these people, these other minority groups didn't gain what they gained. They're still not, don't have everything they want, but they didn't gain it just by having it embodied in some bill where people would hold their nose when they read that part and vote for it because they thought the rest of the bill was good, which I'm sure has happened. I'm sure that had that bill been out and we had to individually vote for it, there had been many of the people who voted for it wouldn't have voted for it. But I think when it comes to hiring, it's a little different. And I don't think I can go home and tell my neighbors that you've got to hire these people when they come, whether you want them or not. If it's a big factory or someplace like this, some kind of an industry where they're not going to have a chance to mingle, if they tell you they don't rape people, they do worse than that. They entice them. They're not born this way. They entice people into this way of living. And you might have children in your home if you had them work in your home or work some care center or something that were easily influenced, even some young wives. I'm sure that the girl who joined Denise Freeman in what they did was enticed into that way of living by Denise Freeman, the guy's helper. I don't mean to just blast her, but I'm sure because I've met some of these children since, and I'm sure that she was enticed into this. Well, you don't know when you might, your own family, have someone who is weak and you leave someone like this in charge of them, and you don't know what's going to happen. And I hope they'll send the bill back to committee, and we will find some way of exempting some types of employment where you can say, I'm sorry, but I just can't feel it in my heart to employ a gay person in this job or something like this without being penalized. Now maybe I'm going to be sticking my neck out a long way because I got about 100 letters from these people all telling me what they are.
I thought it was 3:21. You want to bring it here?
seat up here?
Pardon me, but my communication system's falling down.
They're lousy. They're
going out of state loud and clear.
Anyhow, I just feel this way about it, and most of the letters I've been getting, they've made no bones of telling me that they're gay or talk to me about their lovers. And they say, I live in your area. And I think, oh, they can't all live in my area. And then I look it up, and about 95% of the letters I got come from people in my area. And I know they're not going to like it if I want to do this, but I feel I owe it to people. I just can't tell them because, and they just can't, they've got to prove themselves, in my opinion. Maybe a few years from now, they'll prove themselves and it'll be fine, but I'm going to try to move that back to committee tomorrow. If I don't get it back, I think it'll lose anyway, but I'm not going to try to just sit still and let it lose because I think maybe in housing, we do owe them something because we made it legal to do what they're doing. But I don't think that we should be told they're going to have to hire them or else. I don't know how you boys feel about it, so if the bill, has that bill been through the Senate? I have quite a few that say they'll support me in sending it back, but they would really don't know otherwise, so I don't know, you might give some thought to what I'm going to be trying to do. Don't be so sure. You might be here the way you think you're looking.
Could be in September.
Well, maybe. Well, it's the nice of this with me anyway. Good night. God bless you.
Is there no further testimony on 824? We're all in hearing number 12. Open the testimony or open the
Thank you.
house or owner or employee or any corporation. Section 5, not the 2, but I have another question. You know, like my wife has a woman in a partnership, official partnership or anything like that, would that fall under enterprise then? Right. Be sure about that. So you know, you could dodge it by saying, well, there's no legal paper involved. Or we, you know, we're listed.
Well, you're a part owner.
Yeah,
you're an owner.
You're an owner.
But you're associated with the partnership and part of joint venture.
You're unnamed.
This is part of the corporation.
Should APEC the partnership?
We didn't go into the forms of the relationship, but it's still we're trying to build partnership, joint venture, corporation.
I'm sure they would have certainly on the same tender bank with them.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
It was a perfect time that I would imagine. Right, and back to the two, there's all the corporation, partnership, private firm, enterprise, transnational association, corporation, self-employed. The only one that I got would be a joint venture, and I think that'd be in.
Yeah. And did we ever define household?
Yes, yeah.
We could do that later. Yeah. We've got that on the page too.
Subsection 5, commission to the Fair Bank of the Commission on the Secretary of State of Law. That change would just make relationship. Mr. Chairman, at this point, Lance, can you know, this makes a popular recommendation. Right now, we're calling it the Fair Practices Commission. I'm not fairly happy with that, but it certainly has all the glamour that the audit or elections division has. Lance suggests maybe a fuller disclosure. He's been calling it Fair Practices and Disclosure Commission. In that question, would that be more definitive and tell us about more of a information about? You do have a land, I think the point will take it, but I like to move for trying to shorten the commission name rather than lengthen it. What this shows to me is let's see if we put some thought to the commission if the committee wants to adopt that. I definitely ask it. But the Fair Practices Disclosure Commission, I'd like to move it. If I could get some short term, I think it would be better than a longer term. Keep that in mind. We were going to come back to that. 6. Conflict of interest means conflict of substantial private security interest for public officials. An official obligation to do this public official. However, conflict of interest does not mean. Okay, here A stays the same. B is an amalgamation of our old DOC. Any action, conflict of interest does not mean any action that takes a legal capacity, which would affect the same degree a class consisting of all inhabitants of the state, or a smaller class consisting of individuals of occupation or other groups, including one of which, or in which the person, or member of the household, or business with which he is associated, is a member or educated. C. Employment of no more than one member of the household by a member of the federal. Seven. Division means the Fair Practices Division in the Office of the Secretary of State. So that we have a commission and a division under it. Eight. A member of household is the spouse of the person and any children who reside with the parent.
Do we mean minor children?
No.
Okay.
Now, when it's a 5-year-old son,
so, Mr. Chairman, we look at it. You can hire your wife, and you can hire your teenage son, your teenage, your 25-year-old daughter, and married to the same
individuals that are older to reside there, and you hire all representatives that these funds are one worth of $100,000.
Well, that's easily remedied. I think contrary to the problem we're talking about, the plumber, the brother who lives in New Jersey, I think I'd rather see the household be limited to that that actually is a household, and we really mean we can't deal in that system. So let's keep that.
Well,
so, Mr. Chairman, if you're going to make a special case for the legislative employee situation, then you probably better make special language.
Yeah. And also, we're requiring very heavy requirements for disclosure on members of households. And so I think we'll keep that tight as we can. And we've got the disclosure requirements on that group. When it comes to hiring, I think we drive it way up and say, so that doesn't do the relevant bit, which is in the practice that employees, employers, business associates, and a whole bit, which really stop and have a presentation.
Part about not being allowed to exercise. agency with which he is connected is the best way to defend business regulation. It's plain language. Before it said, unless any business agreement by state, that says, you know, state agency, and you have to do business at that state. In F, change reads, the first line of attorney, list of all civil matters in which any public official or state agency is a party, or which he or member of a law firm with which he is associated represents a client for fee, then can be the client. The legal attorney is a burden of handling the client, or having an attorney that should. Section 2, Section 8, yeah, we changed this to be within 1 year after initial filing of a statement of economic interest. Each person required to file their statement should file with the lead and supplemental statement showing changes to the statement that should be filed with them. Thereafter, at such time, the commission by rule may require additional supplemental statement shall be filed with the commission. Failure to file the statement is required to the subject of the sanctions specified in subsection 4 of section 6 of this act. Section 9, that we read. Conflict official develops a public official shall do one wrong. One, if he is a member of the legislative assembly, he shall announce publicly prior to any vote on issue the issue of the conflict and shall abide by the rules of the House of which he is a member. Two and three remain the same.
Through, 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 through Normally, my understanding of it is the tongue that we're about to hear.
find that the removal of the unconstitutional provision does not destroy the will of the legislature. And basically, that's all Section 17 says. Our four-legged stool is designed to stand on three legs and do the back of the road to find one leg is impossible. And I think they are separable. I know this, that if in fact they're not separable, then all the great words in Section 17 ain't going to help us. The whole thing is blank. Is that not right the way you're saying it? It seems to me that it really shows perhaps some sensitivity on our part that I don't see them there. That is that we may be constructing an unconstitutional document. I don't think it's not. I just kind of take that out. So I think it is terrible by nature, and I think there is a human issue.
Do you want 17 out then?
Well, if it doesn't do any harm, I don't want to send a sucker to go and take it out, but I just hate to draw a red arrow on it and say the body that has this bill believes that one or more sections were unconstitutional, therefore it said in case you the Supreme Court agreed that one or more sections are unconstitutional, won't make a reference on it. And well, the law in criminal code is under matter, but there's no state law, no city law to be inconsistent. We don't need that in 708 or 824 or in 704, it doesn't law. So if you want to check that, I move we take it out and turn the best program and get subject to the looking at again in the other council.
If that's going to cause some problems, I'll do it.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Session 18 is the new fee session. Each report filed with the division shall be accompanied by a fee of blank. All fees received by the division shall be deposited with state treasury to the credit of the general fund. That's the blank open. Mr. Chairman, feedback in my subcommittee, wait, we need to get any more fee increases. And the thing that comes across, I think, more than anything is that you can't really process anything for less than $5.
Would there be any benefit, Chairman, in the $10 to the initial and $5 to the update? Or is that more of a handful? What I'm thinking, I think that'd be fair.
I think it would be fair. Yeah, I know, that's fine.
To set up the original file, the $10.
Yeah.
The update is only $5.
Yeah.
Don't have the beginning.
I'm assuming you have your file folder or something to be set up there. Also, the $10 is more effort, right? I think the name initially would be the way to go, $10 for initial buy and $5 for all subsequent. And it should be $5 for all subsequent requirements. The bill does lead to we can all file all we want. I think that ought to be encouraged by not being passed. But I'm thinking that the
required, you know, so we just put on, if you make sure the word required is in there, then it wouldn't get, I don't know, if you put it in the required, it would be, you know, you think they would interpret that way. I see a $5 for all other statements required. If the guy wants to file one, I don't know if we ask his update.
Well, we do, by law. That's the annual updates we require, and I think that's fine, that's $5. But I'm thinking that we encourage them to change more often, then it should be fine with $5 if they can discourage. Chairman, let me just make 174-04 observability. It should be considered that this is a legislative intent in the enactment of any statute that the King Part of the statute is held unconstitutional. The remaining parts shall remain in force unless, one, the statute is right or otherwise, two, the remaining parts are so essential and inseparably connected with and dependent upon an unconstitutional part that it is apparent that the remaining part would not have been enacted without the unconstitutional part, or three, the remaining parts standing alone are incomplete and incapable of being executed in accordance with the legislative intent.
This is definitely some time, I can see.
I think that's just a third one.
Senator, regarding public officials like you guys, that's one thing, but about, and I'm not sure how many employees are required to file statements. Should they be required to pay a fee to file a statement? They're required by law to file.
I personally would feel, yes, but we're talking about the upper echelon now. I would see nothing wrong with this. We need to go and educate about having officials and farmers or anybody else. And I think this is certainly an essential part of their job.
I might have to look. I might take the fact that I don't know. And
maybe.
And we get the officer. You took the officer. Employees, the late employees.
So,
the insurance employees are doing
I don't know.
Commission.
Can we get a quick way?
Can we get by name of the level?
Yeah,
accept the minutes of level plans to publish?
Well, I have written in here what had been written in the original bill, where you had employees of state regulatory agencies who have an economic interest in the activity regulated by the agency by whom he is employed. And then you have division and department heads.
We don't have a definition of regulatory. No, but we can pick that up.
Yeah.
That's cross reference. We did talk about division and department heads, which is important. It is the kid appointed by the governor.
The
whole
lot
of
them
that aren't
appointed
by the governor.
This was
last Monday. Last
Monday night. Right, right, right. You can have it either way. By the board or by the governor.
But then you took out either one and just put in division and department heads at your recommendation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Start with the appointment.
Yeah.
Okay. The division heads, the department heads, the state government. That hooks up the
job
division
heads.
Division head,
administrator.
And, okay, that satisfies me. I don't, and rather than the way that the P to C does, he doesn't have to file. I think all of the department heads should file.
Yeah. Well, in P to C, Dick Saban has to file. Below him, only those who have a pecuniary interest have to file.
Okay, well, now we saw the division department head. Now let's turn to the question of the conflict. And we're not talking about filing. I think what we go through. Turn around here to our disclosure duration and not talk about filing the disclosure statement as much, and requiring him to check the amount of state six where a conflict commission develops a public official should be one of the following.
Yeah,
and instead of bringing a public official, then four would be for any employee of state regulatory agency enumerated in section whatever. Who has a financial interest in any, or whatever the language you talk about, that he must, not he must disclose and qualify himself. What do you think about that? He has a financial interest in the agencies or in the body that he's regulating.
What they do at the present time is PUC under the law passed 2 years ago. They disclose it to the agency head and then he takes care of it. It doesn't say disqualify or anything, it's mainly disclosure. And he says, well, you can't have to find a job, or your wife's going to leave their job, or whatever it is.
So that would be section 9, new for any employee of any state agency or commission.
Who have to say that, then I'll see what's done.
That's right.
Okay.
We don't care about that. We have a little file. We have a little problem.
I'm going to have to pay the end of the expense.
Because I think that they ought to.
I agree. It's the one
we got out after you're talking about the secretary.
I still have a prohibition. The two aspects of this bill, the first bill is the disclosure and the action around that. The second one is the conflict of interest. We exempt the employee from the disclosure of the file, but he still has whatever duty to report his conflict that we enumerate here, and then we describe a course of action.
We have a three-step thing. One, you're not including your definition of public official and thereby making it recorded by office. The amount of section taken where you're not having to file regularly. So, just picking up a new 9 that says that you just like to use the same language as the present 3.
Except we're calling that the FOIA, the state regulatory agency.
Well,
and then section.
Well, any employee of any of the agencies.
I want to make this clear enough so knowing the agencies like we do,
yeah.
That they don't come back and say, well, no, we want a statement from all $35,000 to $25,000.
I
want
to make darn sure that happens.
If we picked up the top 10 or 15 regulatory agencies, the PUC, the OLCC, and the licensing, the Department of Health,
right?
And less of that, is there any necessity to going beyond picking up all state employees? Not talking about filing. We're talking about declaring disclosure, disqualifying, or reporting to your supervisor.
I think what you do is find regulatory agency, which I thought was
going to be. We do. We're going to.
And then, any employee of a regulatory agency who has a substantial pecuniary interest in the matter to be regulated shall report to the agency head, which goes along with the president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have the same superintendent of public instruction.
Well, we have the board hire an SSA
employee does not have to file, but not disclosed, I've drawn that distinction. That's what we're trying to get at. The employees, well, first of all, we're only talking about regulated phrase, we specify or will specify, we're not done, so yet, thank you too, because they right. So we refer back to section 2, subsection 10, say employees, a regulated agency specified, and, because remember we changed that to include, there's the following, state boards and commissions,
state agency boards and
commissions. Okay, yeah, I can do it, but you're going to put a minute. And then we don't have to use about radar, so we'll pick on somebody. We can pick up the state
board. The old man doesn't have a definition of current 48.
Well, we can put that in our minds, and we can like 10 or 15. We'll pick them primarily on the basis of whether they're regulated. Considerably tighter than it was when first proposed.
I'm still aligned, although it's not extending anymore. My recollection is of extending several thousands of more blank directions on there, but we do have an awful lot of mayors, council members, county commissioners, planning committee, maybe get the number of how many people we are including, but I'm worried about what do they have to pay, who keeps these, and whether they're part of the fair practices commission, including if they're in violation or what. Presumably, all we're talking about there is this disclosure.
Right. It seems to me, I'm not sure the figure. I thought it was about 4,800.
I would think instead of 3 months, 5 is all right. If I was going to go for anything like this, and I could go for this one. If I was to go for any of this type, I would rather see us say that each city and county will adopt rules of their own for schools. Let them adopt their own, set up their own pattern. And these would involve state budgets, and that's up to them. That's the way they want to do it. I think that the city's problems, and nobody's, not the county's problems at all. They have the power to do it. All we have to do is to say that they should do it. But I sure wouldn't want to get into the mess of trying to draw up there, as I'm just not willing to accept that ire of those people.
Mr. Chairman, I think that they certainly tried to adhere to a very fine line here and to make a little trouble possible. And if I understand it, it didn't be a requirement that the Fair Practices Commission Form 101 that has to be completed by the following individual and placed on the file with their appropriate recorders or clerks or clerk, the period.
That was the intention.
And that's certainly taken out my, like I say, my preference to have our president go down along that, but I think frankly that zeroed in and taken half a step, moving it down, is requiring the file. There's no, apparently as I read this, there's no sanction if they don't file, there's no cause of action if they file incorrectly. Bit. All of this mechanism that we've already put together for the Fair Practices Commission is my main objection to going on down the line. Apparently, that's not in here.
That was in his first time around. It wasn't in, and I would certainly think that we could go along with Senator Rippert's suggestion to, even if it was mandated or told or suggested that the city and county can act their own, we could go along with that. We feel that. Or however they want to do it. The idea with this is that it would be very simple.
They might want to go a lot further than we have. Mr. Chairman, you know, we're kind of like virgins before us on this whole matter. And I think one of the challenges serving on this committee is the idea that we have to go to this, not the emergency. I think short of requiring their attendance at our meetings in Salem, that certainly a city council or a planning commission or a county commission could learn a great deal. And I think it's a good experience.
Could we say in statute that the Fair Practices Commission was authorized to provide forms to cities, counties, and other municipal governments, municipal corporations, cities, counties, and other municipal corporations, for the purpose of their use in disclosing conflict of interest if they wanted to do it. In other words, this would put in the statute the authority for the state providing the form and would call attention to the form without giving them any burden at all. And I think that's the right language. Like, well, that's pretty close to what I heard you say.
Right, yes. We didn't know if you can ask them to do their own or not.
It has to be put in section 12 of the E9.
One of the forms already, parent called the parent was in the case, make available would be to Title I make available such form of the church is required to file such statement and to such other cities, counties, and other municipal corporations that
desiring to use that.
Well, no, we don't want to have the word so they don't send them up here in that state. So I put them available.
candidates that they want to find are like each candidate protocol, including any candidate who has to be a center or a shall follow the vision. So we have a very good place to stay on there. We can certainly do that.
Well, we can make a sense of where they are. Here we can.
Unless they're telling me that they have to be qualified.
Had it in at one time.
Yeah.
Warehouses, during the city, John Mandel, whatever. And I think that
fund. If it's over 25, it's always no more than 10% of any mutual fund, I suspect. If you don't come under, if you come under $500 in illicit income, you do come over $500 from mutual funds. I just list mutual funds. If it's excess income over $500, and then I'm going to, if I'm over $20,000, which I have to do to get $500 income in 1 year, I list the acting mutual fund, and I've disclosed everything. And then I don't have to worry about whether their mutual funds are in the timber industry, the garden industry, publishing
I think that solves that sounds good. Tell me again. Yeah. Basically, that's enough common cause recommendations here. And because we've been laboring over individual funds, the things we've taken in our talk, how do you disclose the individual funds? Well, if we adopt their proposal, and we have the understanding, we want to write up this what's clear. Let's suppose I own mutual funds. If I don't get $500 of income out of the mutual funds, I don't disclose them at all, period. The chances of owning more than 10% in any mutual fund company for a citizen here is very remote, so I don't disclose them. So the only way I disclose is one, if I got over $500 in a given year, I just write mutual fund. I don't declare the amount, yet, but mutual fund. And then when I come down to the new one, we put down here where I am, to get $500 income in 1 year, be six reasonable say it's $1,200, I just write acting mutual fund. Period.
If it's more than $2,500 worth.
Yeah, more than $2,500 for market value. Then I don't have to guess whether they're in lumber or roofing or automobiles. One of the bugaboos.
Yeah, it looks to me like it fits that situation. I think that most mutual funds, what you really are doing is buying shares in a corporation, which is a mutual fund corporation, right?
Yeah.
That would be then a new deed, which would include, which would read the source by name of stock and bonds, if you remember, is how those owner
well,
10% of the union.
Yeah.
You got that.
Right.
I don't think we have to say it again, but what Wally and I think is that a mutual fund ownership is an ownership in a corporation. Isn't that right?
Well, I wouldn't say mutual fund again. It's just $2,500.
Yeah, right.
So you have to report it. If you got over $500 out of it in a year, you have to report it if you more than 10%, or you have to report it if you own $2,500 or $2,500 or more of a share. Whether it's mutual funds or construction or private growing or whatever it may be.
I think that's it.
Yeah,
I think it. Then it would be the source by name of Dr. Bond. In any one corporation with fair market value, over anyone a stock in that corporation with fair market value $2,500 or more. So they have to hold it off.
Chairman, I can't follow on 1E. Source by name, if the income provided from that source, 5% of the total income received by any member is obligated in the last number of years. I really think we picked them all up. First way, my ADM, my tax report, my son, beans, which doesn't fit the rest of it. You pick beans, certainly more than 5% of his income.
Okay.
I don't know what you're trying to get at.
Well, what we were, the general category was so broad. In other words, if, say that you were in banking, and I'm not that familiar with the occupations that many people have, and we weren't opposed to very broad general definition if it's going to be in terms of over $500. But if the source, for instance, was 5% or more of the total income received by the person, then you wanted to know whether they were working for a First National Bank, perhaps, or the income came from.
Wouldn't you pick that up under, in other words, let's see, if you pick up 500, first by,
500,000,
yeah. Well,
really? Still, unless you wanted to put in there general category or the name of the program, you know, it's over 500, but we still were interested in that. It's only if it was 5% of, because your income could be 15,000, someone else could be 150,000.
Yeah.
And we were only interested in the.
Right, yeah, yeah, I agree. I just don't think.
Get insurance money.
What are you getting out of that you don't get out of the 500? In other words,
it depends on how you classify general categories. If it's a little bit specific, then you wouldn't need it.
Okay, but you're going to pick that up from everybody that makes over $10,000 anyway, because they're $500, they're going to have to give a general category of everything over $500.
Right.
Okay, now the general category, it seemed to me that they would come, you know, if you're working for the bank, you would put wages for money in the bank.
Yeah, you would, but maybe someone else wouldn't, is what we would say. In other words, if they want to just put bank wages, or if they want to put public, and we're not just talking about legislators, we are thinking in terms, of course, of other categories and the forms that would be required. If you would put in that you were a public relations. I was just thinking in general terms that this would make it specific in the other, in more general.
Isn't what you're saying the same as the effect of E? The name of each business which he remembers household is associated with under the definition we have creditor, officer, owner, or employee.
Yeah, I think what Gerald was getting at, I didn't receive it right off the bat, is that the word source means the direct name of the shipment. And as opposed to category, which is our broader termination, I'm trying to think of both the same.
Yeah.
But obviously, what they're getting back to is the PR for gasoline. For instance, if the gasoline attendant sells $500 worth of parts, gasoline, lighting fixtures, whatever that may be, to a customer, then he must report the customer by name, which is the source, rather than, is that what you mean?
Well, over, if it was 5%.
Well, I just created my example, $10,000 a year, value interpretation, and we didn't want to report you as gas, but if you sell $500 or more, if anyone, household or corporation or whatever it may be, then you have to pick that up and name it by name.
By name. And the other side of the coin was that you may put that you just, that your general source of income is plumbing. But if more than 5% of your income came from a specific source, then you would put that source by name. Now it would depend on your income, which would be 5%.
I understand, yeah. Mr. Chairman. You're talking about two different things, though. You might be talking about gross, and then you talk about his income. So, gross, you might have a $10,000 sale, you might only have, you had several contracts, you might have spent money on maybe $100, but the $10,000, you wouldn't pick it up. Because it wouldn't be 5%, I mean, that would be the gross, but how do you determine what part of that is because in a company or a business, you circle this around, you can take all your losses from one of these big companies. Maybe not.
Well, that's a great problem on the guy in practice that imposed a man on wages. There is a difference between the taxable income and gross income, which I hadn't thought about.
Mr. Chairman,
another thing, too, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but I think we've all seen service stations. Green sign, state of origin, state of law, and a state employee. For a long time, I thought that meant that there was a state employee convention. But what it means apparently is the service station, or the 76 station, and
I like to answer that question. If I didn't answer, I think the question they do rotate is, if you look at that southern part of the box, the state vehicles, you'll find a packet of credit cards. And there's usually a preference list. I don't know what it's up by 18 or what, but it's on a rotating basis. You're supposed to prefer them. I don't know. When I think about it, it's kind of, they might be on a bid. I'm not sure.
But what do you tell me? Would it be something that would be, that people that would actually be able to capture the issue of the entire rotation?
Well, it's one of the, like I say, I've noticed it. This is from brand to brand. It's usually there for years. So I want to see somebody else. But it does seem to be a bit.
Business, you
talk about his income, they're two different things.
Yeah, yeah, that's why.
They're altogether different, because what his income is out of the business, I mean, what his volume is, the gross means nothing. It's what he takes home, and that's his income. That's what he calls his income.
But I think it's awful hard to make you figure out which place you got your net income.
Yeah, but I would also have to go for the net income bill. But then, Jack, you know, that does make it difficult for you. You know, I'm thinking of Cardi, I don't know if we have any of them left, but their problems would be the same as we got Habitat, and their problems would be the same on fleet sales.
They're not going to make money.
Yeah,
on gardening and shows, you know.
Yeah,
but they get the volume uptake.
Or if you're wrong, we're going to get 10%. Growth. And declaring, in other words, if you've got a county contract or you're selling to Allstate Insurance, and that represents 10% of your growth, it has the effect as far as potential conflict of interest, the same as the 10% of your profit, because you're using it to turn it into earnings profit.
But you'd have to write in there your gross business volume.
Yeah.
Or those who work for somebody, their gross.
That problem.
I think you ought to say
brother and Rosen.
Sure, you should say brother and Steve. Steve would be in the race.
Yeah.
And you'd have to put business in the race.
Well, I would expect that whatever set of states would they put in that category, the state of Oregon, Department of Employment, or whatever the agency may be. That would be his answer to, well, I work for the state. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, the guy you're talking about is the guy not the waiter nearly as much as you are the guy who's in business. He's kind of more apt to have the conflict here. The waiter is pretty easy to say.
You know that there won't be more than 10 entries. Right?
Yeah, you can't have to put down more 10 if you're ready to 10%.
Yeah. And the chances of 10 entries, well, in a law business, there's probably only be one or two, as I tell you. Many people get better payers who have business from any one particular source who are doing more than 10% of their business. And the same thing is, well, maybe go to 15, but I mean 10.
10% means the payers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's easy handle. You just figure what came in the gate, take 10% of it, and if it's 10% or more came in the gate from one client or one customer,
then you'd have to be talking about gross business volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The word gross receipt means the same thing as that. It just means
that. Okay, the source of the income provided from that source is 10% of the gross receipt by him. Remember, we talked about the last calendar year. That is that a fact? However, that doesn't give us a good about the son or daughter of the legislator who gets 10% of
that. Yeah,
how do you do about that? But remember the household that's in quick to red in the
let's say in the household income. Did you buy that?
Right. Why not?
Yeah, because I don't have to pick up the bean yard money
the source by name of the income provided to the next source is 10% and total gross receipts of the household.
Gross receipts of the household during the past calendar year.
How
can it be? Well, mostly it's deletion. We changed 5% to 10%. We took out the word income and put in the word growth. We changed the word receive to read for deceive. And we deleted the word by in or a member. And then it reads, source by name is the income provided from that source. It is 10% of the total gross received of the household during the last calendar year. I suppose you should say 10% or more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or parallelism, I think the word income should be changed to receipts in the previous line. If the receipt provided in that source is 10% or more. seed provided from that source is 10% or more of the total growth. Real estate business, apartment would be an example. Your receipts would be much higher than your net on those things. A lot more appreciated and paid me but it will show you that you're interested in the apartment business or in real estate business or rental in a way or land. I think it's pretty good. And won't be an onerous really.
If you want to set then a work session or two to get with that here, or later on we can try and get it for the case. It's been difficult for them. We're trying to see if we can't get it for some kind of a lunch meeting.
We'll sit down and then there's no. Before we break up, I have an idea of good thanks to Blanche and her crew last time. And I appreciate your good work again. Granted, her job. I despaired at times where Eric talked to me and brought together.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. So I got to go back.
Thank you.
Very good. Sharon?
Yeah. I was just asking a lot of questions about this. Then, of course, I want to get the bar. And I decided that the kind of car is going to be
Or in which the person or who held the business,
that's right. Does not mean I see it's a practical time.
guess the course would be, quite frankly, is that my guess is that she would disclose it and then proceed to vote or not vote as the body desires. It would seem to me that it would be difficult, in truth, to argue that her voting for a $300 million basic school support formula was done in conflict with the fact that her husband is the private attorney on retainer on another page from the 24J. I think your point's well taken. We have
my guess is you're giving her an interest to probably be as great as possible to be.
I dare say that the lawyers are going to be paid by 24J for teachers too, based on the examples I've seen before, because they're close to the third step. So,
well, no, but I meant that their amount of interest would be as great.
Well, of course, you see, you can argue that the school support money is going to impact an offset, and there is no pecuniary. Because by tonight, it could mean, really, where she'd have a greater time with the business if she were a big owner of a big house, where she might get property tax relief. But then she clearly falls for the B, she puts the same tax on the dollars and the new one home.
The best example would be if you had only 7 clients.
We are.